One. All right. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of CEV Sports Talk. I'm Eric Perugini with Chris Lahiff. Chris, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good. Hopefully, we can get this actually rolling because this is our official, our fourth official podcast, and we've only gotten one up.
Yeah. I really think it's got to do with the all the because when I went into it earlier, when I was trying to like delete everything, it had like 17 of them all in there, different test ones I did, the original one that we did, and then the one with Frank. And it was just going crazy. I'm like, this is nuts. So we'll see what happens. But
we'll only go 45 minutes tonight. So we'll make sure we don't go too much.
Yeah, that one the other night with I knew we were going to have a problem with it when we had Derek on. I'm like, oh man, we're really running late. I was like, oh, I haven't figured out this program issue yet. I'm like, oh no.
Now, would we be able to go a little longer next time? Not that you think you have everything.
Well, we actually should be able to go a little longer now because I did get a little bit of a memory upgrade in this over the week, last week. So should be able to go a little bit longer, but I still have up here a warning sign on my end, you know, that somewhere something doesn't have enough space, which I don't understand, because when my buddy opened this up, it has like so much hardware or hard drive space. It's insane. So I don't know where the mess up is or what's going on. So that's why I was trying to just delete everything. And then hopefully that was going to fix it. And I have no idea if it did or not. I really don't. So I'm going to have to like go to my buddy again and be like, dude, this is going way higher than me here. Man, Kruk actually looks happy tonight.
Yeah, he was not happy yesterday.
Yeah, he pulled out the BS line. I thought he was going to curse a few times.
Now, did you see Cowboy Joe West yesterday?
I did not. Now, I heard he made a call because there was interference by a cardboard cutout.
No. I wish that's what it was.
So what happened?
So Roman Quinn's on second, Alec Bohm's batting. Roman Quinn steals third, Alec Bohm swings. Boom, boom. I'm sorry, boom. Well, Suzuki gets up and starts complaining that he interfered. And they all conferred, and Joe West made Quinn go back to second, and it was a dead play. And Kruk went off. I went off because that's not how it goes. Is he just supposed to stop half swing in the middle of stealing third? No, it's a baseball play. It was a terrible call. Joe West strikes again. It's amazing that this umpire still has a job in the major leagues. I know I break everyone's balls about, you know, refs and officials. You know, I turn around and I yelled at one of the officials at my son's game. I told him to check his voicemails, and the one parent looked at me and was like, why? Why would you say that? I said, because he's got so many missed calls. And they just looked at me and they're like, you're stupid. But like, that call never should have came out. And if you have replay, why is that? They didn't. They just made the call in the field. They didn't go to replay. It goes.
Really? So he just made a judgment call right there on the spot.
He went on Suzuki's word.
Oh wow!
And they all conferred. And that's why I don't like replay in baseball. I never have. I never will. I'm against it because baseball is such a bang bang sport. You know, for years, you know, you always had that you could get the ball on the flip to second, you know, and graze it, come near it, and the runner was automatically out. And, you know, it avoided injury, you know. But now it's just like every play is reviewable. No. Like you're slow. So you want to slow the game up and you want to, you know, with this replay and everything else, you want to avoid injuries. You know what? How you can avoid injuries? You know, we're in a new era of baseball where pitchers come in and they face one or two batters. Well, now MLB implemented the 3-batter rule, which is stupid. It's so stupid. If Joe Girardi or Tony La Russa or Bud Black or any of them want to use one pitcher for one batter an inning, there's no reason for it. I mean, there's no reason. Let them do it. Let them use their pitchers up. But listen, if you're going to do that, your pitcher has a minute to warm up, and then he gets 5 pitches when he comes out to warm up into the game. He should warm up in the bullpen, and then when he's done warming up, he gets 4 or 5 pitches. Plain and simple. Not this one bat, not this 3-batter rule. It's idiotic. You know, it's hurt the Phillies this year, although it doesn't matter. The Phillies bullpen is just the worst bullpen in the history. They're officially the worst bullpen ever in the history of Major League Baseball. But I'm like, so you took a guy from third with no outs to back on second, and you took the bat out of Baum's hand, basically. Like, I was annoyed by it. Like, it was a terrible call. And there's nothing you can say that will convince me that Joe West made the right call. He's got a history of just being irrational and stupid. He threw a guy out. He threw the Nationals GM out, who was in a booth by himself because he wasn't wearing a mask. Think about that for 1 second.
He was in a booth by himself, and he threw him out.
He was in the press box. Well, not the press box, but whatever it is, the owner's box. He was by himself, or the luxury suite. He was by himself, and Joe West threw him out.
Jesus.
Because he wasn't wearing a mask. See, that's where people get confused about wearing a mask and everything else. I'm not going to get on mask, but I'm saying you wear a mask when you can't social distance. Social distancing is 6 feet. If you can't be with, if you are within 6 feet of someone, you wear a mask. I'm pretty sure from home plate to the luxury suite, it's a little bit more than 6 feet. I could be wrong. I'm not a math major, but I'm just saying, like, Joe West is just, like you said, there's a reason he's Cowboy Joe West. He's just annoying. Phillies won tonight, so that's a win. So,
yeah.
You can give your take on the Phillies.
Dude, to tell you the truth, they have done everything wrong this season. I mean, I'm not going to say nothing about Girardi. It's a short season. You know, they didn't have... In any sport, they didn't have, in my opinion, adequate time to like get themselves ready. But that's no excuse. They're professionals. They already know how to play this game. They know how to keep themselves in shape. But the moves that were made is just pretty arrogant, if you ask me. I mean,
they got worse with the bullpen. That's amazing. That's
what I mean. Like, it was pretty arrogant. Like they went out there, they thought that, okay, well, we're going to do this. We're going to make these moves. So because we're addressing the bullpen, that we're automatically okay, we're going to get better. But the guys that you got back were worse. You know, you gave up another player in one of those trades that for the Yankees could actually become a decent player. You know, and again, I this whole thing with Real Muto, they're dropping a ball on that one. And that's just really annoying me, because the more I watch him play, the more it's going to suck that he's not a Philly next year.
Like, it's going to suck when he's a New York Met.
It really is. It's going to completely suck, because you know that new owner is going to open up that checkbook. He's going to want to make a splash. And if you can get the best catcher in the game, then yeah, you're going to do that. And he's actually smart, because he's coming at the right time, where all he has to give up is money. You know, no, the Phillies, they go and give up Sixto Sanchez, which I still to this day, I still say you never give up a pitching prospect of that potential and caliber for a catcher, no matter how good the catcher is. I don't care who the catcher is at all. I just don't.
Well, yeah. See, that's where I disagree with you. Because I always say you make your team better through the draft. Now, the draft could be trading draft picks. It could be trading a prospect for a player who's already established, because we don't know what that player is going to be. You got to remember, Kyle Drabek was untouchable for years. And then Ruben Amaro finally traded him. And, you know, he's not in the league anymore. You know, who's the, you know, Sisto Sanchez looks good after six starts. You know, we don't know what he's going to be in 3 years, but the fact that in 3 years, JT Realmuto have been off this team for three seasons is disturbing. Like, I turned around, I said to I forget who I was talking to. I was about Realmuto. I was like, what would you do? Like, well, first I'm firing Klentak. Then the GM I'm bringing in is going to, and I'm going to tell him, go and sign Realmuto. Get him a five-year deal, $120 million or whatever it is, and bring him here. Because with the way Major League Baseball is you're going to have him, he can DH, you can have Bryce at DH, so you can have, you have your two best hitters who won't be in the field putting strain on their knees and their arms, and they can DH. But they're going to screw it up, and I'm going to hold McPhail and Klentak accountable for. Like, I turned around and I said, I told yesterday, I made a post about, you know, Kapler. Like, Gabe Kapler got a raw deal. Don't get me wrong, Gabe Kapler was a maniac. His baseball philosophy was, you know, I never understood it. But how ironic is it going to be when he beats the Phillies in the playoffs by one game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's, yeah, Kapler did get a raw deal. I'll agree. Now, granted, I was not a fan of his coaching style, of his managing style at all. I really wasn't.
Oh, no, he needed to get fired, but so did, yeah, McPhail and Klentak. They all three of them should have been out the door.
Yeah, I mean, right now, the Phillies are in a situation kind of like the Sixers. You know, before they do anything, they have to clean out the front office. They have to. And, I mean, sadly, it doesn't look like the Sixers are going to do that. I mean, they're still evaluating whatever that means for them. But, I mean, but that's where the Phillies are right now. And you're right. They have to sit back and go, okay, you two are out. You, I'm bringing you in to be the new GM. And like you said, first thing, I want Realmuto signed by the end of the week. That's the first thing I say to the new GM, whoever it is. I want him signed by the end of the week. He's not going to the Mets. He's not going to the Yankees. He's not going to New York. I don't care where he's going, except back to the Phillies dugout. That's the only spot that I want him at. They need to get like somebody like Ricky Pitalico in there, honestly. He's just got to go in there and berate everybody and fire everyone on the spot. But yeah, no, I was very unhappy with the last couple of years with the Phillies. And then like this year is like we were saying before we got on the podcast here, that they had no intention right now of re-signing Realmuto. They really didn't. They got him for those 2 years. They made the statement where it was like, oh, you make the trade to have control for 2 years. Okay. And in those 2 years, you need to work out a deal. You have 2 years to do it. And they didn't do it. Just completely, completely making me mad with how they handle everything.
If they would have won the World Series out of these last two seasons, then I would have been all right, fine. I would have been okay with it, but they didn't win it.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the easy way to go. You know what I mean? It's like, because that's the end game for any sports franchise, is to win the championship. Like, all right, everyone. I mean, people are now starting to really come off of the Super Bowl honeymoon with the Eagles. I mean, we're talking now. It's what, 3 years later, and now people are just starting to come down off of that high. And we look at what we have out on the field right now for them, and we're willing to take what we have at the moment because, well, 2017. Well, that's what we were willing to do for the last couple of years. But now that's starting to wear off. You know, and with the Phillies, oh, they, you know, make the statements of what was the famous statement about money? Oh, stupid money. Well, you'll spend the stupid money. They went out and got Bryce Harper, and they go out and they get Didi the Gregorius, who I hope they keep him too. But who knows what's going to happen with them? Who really knows? Like, you bring Bryce Harper in for that huge contract, a nice long contract, and what are you showing him? I mean, I know he's like financially well off, but what are you showing him for your commitment to actually winning a World Series? You're not showing him anything. So now he's in a contract where can't really go nowhere. So now he's here on a team that sucks.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, and I mean, and now here's another one. Joe Girardi. Look at the situation he was put in. This guy was coming in, and everyone's like, oh, God, we got Joe Girardi. That's going to be in a shortened season. He's going to win us at least, you know, 5 to 7 games on his own. And he can't even do it because he don't have the personnel. I mean, I'm watching him talking right now on NBC Sports Philly, and he's just fidgeting around. I don't think he knows what to say back to the reporters. I mean, I feel bad for Joe Girardi.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out. There's nothing. Who knows? I'm so disgusted by the Phillies.
And you have every right to be. Every single Philadelphia baseball fan has every right to be disgusted by the Phillies organization.
Let's get off the Phillies before we start getting mad. Let's get mad about the Eagles. So I'll let you lead off with this one. So go ahead.
Okay, well, I know we've had our differences on this one too, but I am 100% convinced, you know, that something's going on, and I honestly feel that the Eagles on the inside are looking past Carson Wentz. No one can tell me that this Jalen Hurts draft pick was not a statement like, okay, look, you know, hey, we're always going to look to improve the team, but ... This Wentz has seemingly regressed, and I mean, he's played two horrible games, like two of the three worst games we've ever seen him play. I know you mentioned the other day it was a New Orleans game, right? That was the one you said he was like completely horrible in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's regressed. And the day after the game in Doug Peterson's press conference, the day after, I think it was the first question he was flat out asked about Carson's regression, and he didn't stop to defend him. He didn't go at the reporter in a snarky way. He just sat there, sighed, and took like a 3-second delay and goes, "Oh, that's a good question." So he's admitting that Carson Wentz is regressing, and he's the head coach and not doing nothing about it. I completely feel that he's past Carson Wentz, and the front office has passed them. They got 2 years, this year and next year, and then they'll be able financially to get out from under the strains of his contract. I totally think that in 2 years, Carson Wentz is traded from this team.
That could very well be. Now, if you trade him, you got to get a haul for him.
They'll still get something for him because he's still young. He's still got the talent. I mean, everyone has, and you and I hate this, going back to 2017, we saw what he can do, or what he's capable of. Let's put it that way, because he never finished the season. We saw what he's capable of. So people are going to look at that. They're going to look at his numbers in 2018. They're going to look in 2019 how his numbers seemingly work out in the amount of time he played and where he stands in the rankings for, you know, passer ratings and stuff like that. But yeah, man, I think they'll still get something good for him, but I think they're past him. I really do. Man, I hate to say it.
So where do you think, if you had to guess, I have my opinion of where I think he gets traded. But I need to know what you think, where you think he would get traded.
Where would he get traded to? I mean, there's a couple of teams. I mean, I was talking today to somebody at work, and I told him, I said, it could very well happen. You know that. I said, I definitely think he stays in. I feel he stays in the NFC. And I think it's lining up perfectly for Carson Wentz to make his way to New Orleans. That's where I think he'll wind up going.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. It's lining up perfectly for him, in my opinion, for him to go to New Orleans. I mean, we're seeing a very crappy Drew Brees this year, and who knows if he pushes it one more year. But yeah, that's where I think that they're going to – I really do. I think that's what will happen. I think he goes to New Orleans because they're so used to having a good quarterback, someone that can take a team and move them downfield. So I think Wentz brings a little bit different skill set than Drew Brees does. So I think they're going to look – I think they look into keeping that position at with Carson Wentz, a still a good young quarterback. Where do you think?
Where do I think he's going?
Yeah. If he gets traded, where do you think he goes?
I think if he gets traded, he gets traded to this team only because the head coach is still there. And my pick is the Indianapolis Colts.
I could definitely see that too. I could.
Because Frank Reich's there.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Rivers is there on a 1-year deal. You know, if they wanted to, they could really trade him next season.
They could. The team that takes on his contract though would have to.
No. I'm pretty sure the Eagles would still be on the hook for it.
Yeah, I mean, unless they work something out. Which, I mean, highly unlikely, but you never know. Like, they could work something out, but, yeah, the Eagles would pay him anyway, so, yeah, I could see that. They're still on the hook. Get rid of them. You have Hurts for less money. That's a good one.
Now, you introduce Hurts into the system. You have a full training camp, depending on what's going on with COVID. You know, it just, there's so much why I think he would get traded there. Frank Reich's there. Like I said, I don't see Indianapolis game, so I don't know if Philip Rivers is old, so I don't know if he's running the RPO that they ran when we made that Super Bowl run, but they have a good running game. They have good tight ends. So that's my pick. I think it goes
that is a good pick.
Because they're going to need a quarterback, so.
True. True, very true. They will. But no, you're right. That is a good pick. Let's see. And it's funny that you brought up the RPO because the few flashes of, I'm not going to say greatness, but the few flashes of good decision-making and good quarterback play that we have seen from Carson Wentz this year was when he was on the move. It was when he ran an RPO. So it would make total sense. Like I don't understand why Peterson just doesn't go with that again. I mean, you really have to think, why is he not doing it? I mean, he even said it himself in a press conference that Carson is better on the move. Well, then put him on the move. Like, why is he staying in the pocket?
Well, I said that in the last broadcast that they got to move him.
Yeah, exactly. And you were exactly right. You have to move him. But they're also letting him, well, as Doug Peterson said, they're giving him control of the offense. Okay, so what? You're the head coach. You're not you have no say now in what happens because you told your fifth-year starter who's playing now like a rookie. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, I don't understand. Like, you're the head coach and offensive coordinator, because they never went out and actually signed one. So
yeah, I think that's where they're struggling too.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's showing that there's a complete and total disconnect from coach and player. And on an NFL team, well, really any team, your head coach and your starting quarterback have to be on the same page. You can't just sit there and say, okay, you go ahead and do it. Like, no, you're the coach, man. Take control of this team, you know, because, I mean, Carson's playing like total ass, and now he's without Jalen Reagor for, what, till after the bye week, it sounds.
Well, I mean, it was inevitable between all the injuries on Sunday, which I've never seen before in my life, all the ACL injuries that happened, and not one Eagle went hurt.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz didn't hurt his knee somehow.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Watching that game, I was fully expecting them to say that something happened with Carson, he's hurt, and that I'd be trying to make a play for Jalen Hurts on the waiver wire. I honestly did. And I'm surprised he wasn't hurt coming out of the week one. I mean, when he just got decimated out there. But yeah, you're right though. In 1 week, when you see possibly the two best running backs playing today both go out, I mean, one for the season and one's out for 4-6 weeks. I mean, they're, man.
Which I have, by the way.
You got McCafferty? Oh, that's right. That's right. Sure do. That's right. That's right. You got him with the second pick. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, I couldn't believe the amount of injuries that happened either. And, well, it was funny. Like, you first said, oh, well, you know, so surprisingly the Carson Wentz got to walk off that field, you know, but I didn't know anything was wrong with any of the Eagles until after the game. You hear about, and it took now to find out about Jalen Reagor. And I know what Fletcher Cox is hurt, right?
Yeah, I don't know what his issue is.
Yeah, so I mean, they're another one where it just seems to be. I don't know. Do you think now it's not the first time where they've started out 0-2? I mean, didn't they start out 0-3 1 year and still make the playoffs?
No, if they did, I don't remember.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just one of those things, man. There's just so much going wrong, and the funny part to me is it's still, what's it called? The Flyers are still technically the best team in the city, and they're not even playing right now.
Yeah, we missed Frankie's podcast tonight, but kids had sports. I fell asleep. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I fell asleep for a minute, too. I ran upstairs, took a shower. Next thing I know, I'm waking up for dinner at like 6. I'm like, oh, geez. I was like, I completely missed.
I do. I can't wait to have him on because I'm so looking forward to doing the Foles and Wentz debate. And his buddy on social media, whoever he is, it's just mind-boggling, the whole – Nick Foles thing. And actually, not even Nick Foles right now. It's so, like, everyone knows I'm a Wentz guy, but I'm not gonna, yeah, there's nothing to defend the last 2 weeks. He was terrible. Like, there's right. I wrote the article about, you know, how terrible he was on Sunday, you know. But, you know, if you watch the game and if you look at, like, plays that happened, like, look at the interception he threw.
Mm-hmm.
When he released the ball, Ortega Whiteside had the guy beat. And he got undercut. Did. You can't get undercut like that. You can't, you know. And Sunday night, I get to watch Eric Metcalf catch a 54-yard bomb from Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's one draft pick that is going to stick with every Philadelphia fan for as long as Metcalf and Whiteside are in the league together.
So, well, it's like I was talking to Derek Morgan and I said, it's the 2000s all over again. It's the Freddie Mitchells, the Reggie Waynes. It's, you know, it's all them, the TJ Houzmizadas. Like, it's these wide receivers who were just not panning out. And I'm like, I watched this movie before. We lived it. We know what that team, what those teams were capable of in the early 2000s. And Reed never went out and got a receiver till 04. And you saw what happened. They were literally the best team in the league. You know, unfortunately, McNabb choked in the Super Bowl, which he's not the first quarterback, and he won't be the last quarterback. But that's what happens. Like, and they were unstoppable. Their run game that year was phenomenal. Westbrook went off. So, like, and when people sit there and say, you don't win Super Bowls with star receivers, this and that, and you know what, you're right. But if you have a receiver who's good enough that complements your run game, that's where you succeed at. When you have a really good wide receiver. And like, is Zach Ertz really going to be? Is this, we're going to deal with this the rest of the season? He's in a pissy mood because, you know, he wants to get paid because everyone else got paid. All right, well, calm down. Like, we know you're good, Zach. Like, we know you won the Super Bowl. You know you won. You had the game-winning touchdown. But relax. Like, you have 2 years left on your deal. Eagles are in cap hell next season. Let's give them a chance to clean it up before you want to do any more. You want any more money?
Exactly.
Like, I think Howie will take care of him. You know, we'll see what it is. How about this? How about this? If I'm Howie Roseman, I walk into Zach Ertz. I'm like, all right, Zach. Well, first off, Zach Ertz shouldn't be raising his voice to the GM, and the GM shouldn't be raising his voice to the tight end, especially outside where the media is. That's unprofessional. I'm sorry. Like, that's, you know, I don't know who started it, but either way, they're both unprofessional. And when it came to that,
oh, definitely. That was when that report came out. I was like, okay, he's done for the season because his head's definitely not in it. Now, there's also reports where, like, he's not asking for George Kittle money or Travis Kelce money. Like, he's willing to work with the team, and they approached him about an extension, didn't work out for whatever the reason was. And then when they went to him a second time, it was like $2 million less of upfront money. Like, okay, now you're just, like, for back of a letter of sense, just pissing the guy off at this point. And you can see it on his body language during the games. I mean, you can flat out see that he is not into it. And, like, that this contract is screwing with his head.
Well, and that's where I get mad, because – not that I get mad, but when you have people – okay, so his head's not in the game, and he is where he is now. And then you have the people on social media who are saying that Wentz isn't liked by his teammates. He isn't – well, then you know what? If they're not liked by his teammates and they're not going to go out there and play, then bench them. Bench if you're seeing the fault of the offensive lineman not blocking enough for Wentz, then bench them. I could never be a coach in the NFL because of two things. Well, let me rephrase that. An owner. I could never be an owner, because if I'm watching a game and I'm seeing my star quarterback get smacked around, and our offensive line is lollygagging, I'm trading all of you to the Cleveland Browns.
Exactly.
And then another thing, I'm only going to get on this topic for however long this minute or however this goes. If I am the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, everybody who was on that field and every coach on that staff would be fired and traded to the Browns. Because how do you not know the rule that you're allowed to touch the ball in a game like that? That was hands down. I put it on Facebook the other day. I said, Atlanta Falcons, blown lead since 2016. That's coaching. You can say what you want about the players. I still would have traded them to the Cleveland Browns or the Jets. But that's coaching. At the end of the day, it comes down to coaching. The coaching dropped the ball that game. It almost looked rigged.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. I mean, and you're right. I mean, I'm not going to lie either. Like, at first, I sat there and I thought, okay, look, I know Atlanta's known for choking and giving up huge, monstrous leads. Like, we saw that in their Super Bowl with New England. Like, they had that game won, and then they just choked. I mean, bad teams find a way to lose games, and on the flip side, good teams find a way to win. One adjusted, the other couldn't react properly, couldn't adjust to their adjustments, and just totally blew it. Like, just gave that game away.
Yeah, see, that's when you sat there and said that, you know, good teams find the ways to win. You know, I didn't respond to the group text because I didn't really feel like getting into it with Bill. But I 100% disagree with you on that, because I think it just came down to bad coaching. And they got lucky. The Cowboys got lucky because they all had, the other team had a brain fart. Like, there's no reason. And you know, they made plays. Falcons made plays at the end of the game. Dak Prescott, everyone is praising Dak. And don't get me wrong, Dak Prescott had a good game. You know, everyone's like, oh my God, he ran for 3 touchdowns. He scored from the 1. He didn't score from the 30.
Right.
So he still scored. He still had 4 total touchdowns and led them back to a win. But it's not like, you know, Coach McCarthy turned this team around and they're great. Like, if you go over and you look at, like, some of the Reddit pages, the Twitter pages, the Facebook pages, is these fans aren't happy with them. Like, why are we fake punting on 4th and 5? Like,
right.
In a game you're losing. Like, you're starting to make a comeback. Like, no, you just take the momentum away. But, unfortunately, Atlanta could have closed it out. They're like the Phillies bullpen.
Yeah. Come
the Phillies bullpen could have the cure for COVID-19, and they would still lose it.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
But anyway, before we get back to football with the Eagles. So I had written a piece, and I put it on CEV. I don't know if anyone read it. But so, as I said earlier, you know, Wentz takes the blame. You know, he's the quarterback, and I get it. But Nate Gary made Tyler Higbee look like the greatest tight end of all time. Couldn't cover him. Couldn't tackle anybody. You know, you have 5 catches and 3 of them are touchdowns. And it's not like they were 1-yard touchdowns. They were like 13, 14-yard, 15-yard touchdown passes. Some of them were. That's right. A disgrace.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Not going to lie.
The Eagles' other $100 million man, Fletcher Cox, where's he been? Haven't heard his name on a stat sheet. All we heard about was how great Hargrave's going to be when he comes back. You didn't hear his name on a stat sheet. You didn't hear anybody's name on a stat sheet. I don't know. I'm over Howie Roseman. You get a GM in here and get me linebackers.
Very true.
I miss Kiko Alonso.
Oh boy, Kiko Alonso. He just didn't fit this system for some reason, or they didn't know how to use him. I have no idea. I'm starting to think that they had no idea how to use the guy. I mean, he leaves here. He went goes what to Miami, and he starts playing amazing.
So I think he's on. Isn't he on New Orleans?
He might be. I think he might be. I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you. Yeah, I'm actually not quite sure.
At this point, I would sign Nigel Broughton back. What's he got to hurt?
That's great. Yeah, I mean, the guy was obviously their best guy last year, their best linebacker. And that's another thing. They still, if for all this time, just do not value the linebacking position. They just don't. And you need that. You can't always just build a good defensive line to stop your run game. You have to have a complement. At least get one guy. That always, and I mean always, bothers me about the Eagles. I mean, the last really, really good linebacker they had was Trott.
Yeah, it was. The Axeman.
Yeah, he was the last really good one out of everybody. And since then, I mean, they've had some decent guys, but none to Trotter's level. None that could make a difference out there. When they let him go to Washington, just let him, I was like, oh my God. And then they got him back, which was great, but.
Oh, he stunk in Washington.
He was horrible.
And the Eagles defense, and they ran 39 times for almost 200 yards. Like, how is that not, like, talked about? All right, now everyone's starting to say Jim Schwartz. You know, Jim Schwartz is this and Jim Schwartz is that. If they come out and they lose to Cincinnati, I fully expect Jim Schwartz to be fired.
That's a possibility, man. I mean, that's a possibility. Did you read the quote? Someone was quoted. I don't know if it was in an article or someone was just being interviewed. But when they were asked about the Eagles defense, they laughed and said, "Oh, well, everyone in the NFL knows what they're doing. It's they don't hide anything." So it's like everybody knows what the Eagles are running. How do you do that? How do you just sit there and go, "Oh, okay. This is what we're doing. No, we're not going to hide it." Like, so if one person knows it, then everybody else knows it. Because NFL people aren't stupid. There's a science to playing and coaching and the game. There's a science to it. And it just makes me so mad. Just makes me mad.
Well, that's the Philadelphia Eagles. That's how we do.
That's more or less the Philadelphia way. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, and I'm totally okay with saying right now that 2017 was lightning in a bottle. I'm totally fine with saying that because guess what? We got a Super Bowl now. I don't care. We finally got one. It's there. No one can take that away from me. But my God. And I'm starting to really not like this arrogance by Doug Peterson. Like he's always had it a little bit, but like I said, now we're 3 years removed from the Super Bowl and he's getting really snippy and short with reporters now. It's a little easier for him to do it now that no one's actually in the same room and they're all doing a Zoom or Skype interview. But yeah, I'm really starting to get annoyed with him. And you know, someone said on the radio today, they're like, well, you know, maybe they should think about getting rid of Doug. And I was like, well, first of all, you need to get rid of Roseman first because he's the one to put this team together. I was like, you need to get rid of him first before you do anything else. But I was like, they're not going to get rid of the coach. I was like, he still has a couple of years left before they even talk about doing that to him.
Yeah, I wouldn't get rid of him just yet. Like, let's see. You know, before we're like, hey, let's get rid of him.
Yeah, no, I'm not on board with getting rid of him yet. Especially since if you get rid of the head coach, then you have to hire two positions. You have to hire a head coach, or you have to bring in a head coach, and you have to definitely bring in an offensive coordinator because they don't have one. So you know they're not going to get rid of the guy. So who knows? Just annoying. Just so annoying, but I'm really tired of his arrogance now. Like he sits there 1 minute and he's like, oh, you know, I'm the coach. He comes across like I'm the coach. I know what I'm doing. But then you're letting your quarterback run your offense. You're letting him run your offense. Last time I checked, as much as I like Carson Wentz, he's not Peyton Manning.
But don't forget, it took Peyton 7 years to win his first Super Bowl.
Yeah, it did. You know, and they had to get some players around him to help out a little bit. I mean, he had his moments where, you know, Brady took him out. You know, Brady had the better team. Brady won.
I don't think Brady had a better team. I just think Brady is the greatest of all time, and I think Belichick's the greatest of all time.
No argument there. No argument there. And I mean, and that's the most cockiest SOB of a head coach ever. And I still say to this day, well, he earned that right. You know, like the guy's got what, 6 titles in 9 of them?
No. He's got more because he won some with the Giants.
Well, I mean, like with New England. I mean, that run that they had with that team, like that will never happen again. That was with Brady leaving them was the Undertaker losing his streak. That's exactly what that was. So you're never going to get that again from any team. You just won't.
No, you went the Undertaker.
Yeah, I did. I mean, because that's basically what he was. Like, the dude had ice in his veins, and the NFL was his yard. It was. I mean, it could still very well be his yard, you know, but this is definitely Brady is the American Badass 2.0 version. Let's put it that way. He's running out there doing his thing, and I give him credit.
Well, listen, I got no problem with that. You know, people break my balls because I'm a Patriots fan, and you know that I jumped on the bandwagon when, in fact, like, I'm really not. Like, I've liked them since the early 90s. It's ridiculous why I like them, but I do. And it's funny because the two Dallas fans who I'm in a group text with, Ryan and Greg, who's actually supposed to be on, like, they were breaking my balls about the Eagles the other day. Every right, you know, it's what we do.
Yeah.
So I just went in and I took a picture of all my, like, my old Drew Bledsoe jersey. I have a Ty Law jersey. I have a Tom Brady jersey. I have an Andy Katzenmoyer jersey. I got a picture of Dan Marino and Drew Bledsoe, and it's signed by both players. So, and I sent it to them, and they responded back with, "You son of a bitch." Like, "Wow, we didn't know you were a Patriots fan." I said, "Well," I said, "relax." Like, I was a Patriots fan until 04. Then when they beat the Eagles, I was real bitter. Like, it was the ex-girlfriend. Like, it took me a while to get back on track. But when they went undefeated, I was like, I wanted to see them go undefeated. And people were like, "Well, why?" I said, "Because it's history."
Right.
Watching a team go 19-0, it's history. Unfortunately, we didn't say it. But, you know, that's where I like the Patriots. Like, I liked Drew Bledsoe. You know, I followed him out of Washington State when he came up. You know, Curtis Martin, Terry Glenn, Ben Coates. I had a Ben Coates jersey. You know, I know I'm crazy, and I know, you know, people sit there and say you can't have two teams. And I get it. Like, you're really not supposed to. But I know I'm not the only one. And I don't really care if people say it. Like, they can break my balls all they want. But, you know, I root for the Patriots. You know, I'm going to always root for the Patriots. It is what it is. But, you know, people want to break my balls, they can break my balls.
So. I give players credit where it's due. Like, for many years, I mean, when I was a kid, like, it was – my guy was Gretzky for hockey. You know, I hardly got to see him play because of where he was at, but I 100% loved every time I saw Edmonton play, like, to the point where I have a Wayne Gretzky Edmonton Oilers jersey hanging up in my closet. Now, as I got older and time was going on, my favorite player was Peter Forsberg. And then when he got traded for Lindros, I still followed Forsberg. I have a Peter Forsberg Avalanche jersey in my closet and a Nordiques jersey in my closet. And then Lindros took over the mantle of my favorite player. And I got a ton of his crap, you know, but I have people not complain, make fun of me all the time because I would proudly walk around wearing my Forsberg Avalanche jersey, but I would also have on my Flyers hat. You know, and I was like, no, guys, no, this is it. Like, this is my guy. I like him. But yeah, I mean, when I like a player, I like a player. That's all there is to it. Like, that's what makes sports so much fun. You can like other players that are not from your hometown teams. I love it. It's amazing. It's great. and plus, I just love getting under people's skin.
So I'm. Are you confident about Sunday? Are you even confident about the rest of the year? Let's not worry about Sunday.
Well, the rest of the year, well, for me, the rest of the year depends on Sunday. If they go out and Joe Burrow outplays Carson Wentz, which pretty much it looks like he could, considering how he played in his first two games compared to how Wentz played, if he outplays a fifth-year starter in Carson Wentz and the Eagles lose, and I mean lose, like points-wise, they lose, like another, you know, someone puts up 24, 30 points on them, then I'm really concerned. Right now, I think it's to the point where they can turn it around. It's just, will they? Like, and that's the question that, you know, nobody can answer. Can they? Of course. Will they? Well, who knows? But I won't, like, I'm nervous right now. 0-2 makes me nervous. If they lose to Cincinnati, then then I have no hope for the season.
Yeah. So. They're not losing to Cincinnati. You know, they're going to win. I think they're going to win easily. They better win easily. You know, that's if they don't, then it's in. Ugh.
I don't know, man. I don't see them winning easily. But the way they've played, I don't see it at all. This team is in utter shambles. There's no direction. There's such a lack of leadership on the field. I mean, to the point where, did you hear, who was it? I forget the damn cornerback's name now. But he got mad when people brought up not having Malcolm Jenkins.
Oh, Jalen Mills.
Yeah, Jalen Mills. Like, don't get mad, dude. Like, you guys are not playing good at all. So people are going to question if losing Jalen Mills in free agency is affecting
Malcolm
the
Jenkins.
Locker. Who did I say?
Jalen Mills. It's Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah, like losing a guy like Jenkins in the locker room, in the community, that hurts. So don't take offense to it, because I'm sorry, pal, you are no Jenkins. You're just not. I mean, you can have a certain outlook on things. You can become the voice in the locker room, but for a long time, his voice backed up the play.
So this is how, well, I mean, unless there's anything you're going to add after I'm done, but I'm going to give you my viewpoints about a couple things. So, okay, so you lost Malcolm Jenkins in the locker room. That's fine. You lost the voice. You lost the leader. He's not Brian Dawkins. So before anyone gets onto that wagon, like, he's not Dawkins. I know Malcolm Jenkins has two Super Bowls. We know his play. We know he didn't miss a down. But in Philadelphia lore, he's not Brian Dawkins. He never will be. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's. Right. You know, he was a great player here, Malcolm Jenkins was. He was a great leader. He's not here no more. After two games, we're going to talk about the leadership of one player who's getting burnt over in New Orleans by tight ends. Uh-huh. You know, we always sit there and say, like, we always, like, Joe Banner always knew when players were done. You know, he got rid of them at the right time. I'm not saying that getting rid of Malcolm Jenkins at that point was the right time, but who knows? It's two games. We'll see what happens. Someone's got to step up. You know who needs to step up and maybe open their mouth? Is Brandon Graham.
Definitely.
But definitely. Brandon Graham's been the best player on the team. So, yeah. And another thing, I'm going to I got called out on Facebook. Because somebody made a post about Eagles need to go to Jalen Hurts in week 2. So I responded with, I was like, this is such an idiotic post that it's hilarious. So guy was like, you know, well, maybe you're just in denial and you can't face facts, or you're just a moron with a half a brain. You know, have I been watching the last two games? And I've said that he's been paying attention, you know, or, you know, I haven't been paying close attention. If you think it's so hilarious, then tell me what is so hilarious about it and why. And if you can't back up with your good solid argument, maybe you should just shut up. And then if you can't refute anything, just shut up. So I told the dude, I said, my first response was, I said, so after two games, we're benching the starting quarterback. I'm like, we're just going to go straight panic mode. We're going to take the $100 million quarterback and just bench him. And I responded back with, so I'm like, listen, you don't want my refute because I really don't feel like embarrassing you on this page. And then right after that, I said, no, you're getting my refute. And he hasn't responded. But here's my refute. Philadelphia fans, do we really want to bench our star quarterback and start a rookie quarterback who hasn't taken a snap in an NFL game, hasn't played in preseason because we didn't have one? You know, it's game three. It's not game 13. You know, our division isn't that good. It's still a winnable division. So, like, there's scenarios that people are forgetting. I said, you know what? If you watch the last two games, Wentz made more bad passes in game one than he did in bad two. He tried to squeeze that one pass in between the coverage and did a defender, any undercut white side, which can't happen. I said, another reason why you're not going to go to your rookie quarterback is because Goff started out 13 for 13. They couldn't stop the pass game. Gary couldn't cover anyone. Defense gave up almost 5 yards of carry. The defense had zero turnovers again. Another game of zero turnovers. Mm-hmm. How many games are we going to go? Like, the special teams shouldn't be creating turnovers. Defense. And I ended it, I said, with Doug's play calling, it's stale. He's got to do something. If that means you bring in Jalen Hurts for a couple plays here, a couple plays there, where he's running a couple RPOs, you know what? Bring it in. Let him do it. I don't care. Bring it in. Use the bullpen. So I was like, and I got turned around. I was like, you're just a sorry excuse for a sad troll. I refuted your response. And 2 days later, you're still not going to respond to me. And by the way, we've given up 4 touchdowns to tight ends. 4.
4.
That's a disgrace. But it's all Wentz's fault. But it's all Wentz's fault.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, the whole thing with, oh, my God, we have to start the rookie. People are saying that two reasons. One, second-round pick. They spent a high draft pick on him, so people are automatically assuming that he should be playing right away. Two, goddamn Nick Foles making the backup quarterback position into the rock star. So now everybody thinks if you're the backup quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, you're automatically better than Carson Wentz, and you should be starting over Carson Wentz. Those are honestly the two reasons why people are jumping on the Jalen Hurts bandwagon so soon. They're the only two explanations for it, because they're all morons. Every damn person saying that they should be starting Jalen Hurts is a moron. No, well, okay, that's not troll, moron. I like moron better because they're all moronic dopes. How about that one? So, yeah, I'm not at all happy with it, with this whole let's just forget about Carson Wentz and move on. You're right. What has Jalen Hurts proven in the NFL? Not a damn thing. And here's something else that people are forgetting. He lost his starting job in college because he was inconsistent. And they went to Tua. Can't blame him. Carson Wentz, he's been very inconsistent. And he's actually been that way since he came into the league. But he gets numbers to pad his stats, and everyone forgets, that he makes some mental errors during the game. He holds on to the ball too long. He takes too many risks running with the football, or and throwing the football sometimes. You know, Jalen Hurts isn't like this perfect quarterback coming out of college. He's a good player. But like you said, no one has seen what he can do in the NFL. And now I believe we're going to get to see that chance. And if they lose this game on Sunday, don't be surprised if a few weeks later they're out of the playoff race and we see him for a lot of football towards the end of the season. Like, I can actually see them. If Wentz keeps playing the way he has been, I can see them benching him if they are out of the playoff race and he becomes the backup, which will spell the end of Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. So he's got to get his stuff together. But you're right. These people are stupid. They just want to troll. They're not watching the games. They're just looking at the highlights. They're looking at how bad Wentz has been playing. And right away, it's up. Backup quarterback's automatically better.
But here's my thing, and I know I said I was gonna end it with my thing, with my Wentz thing, but that's the thing. It's like, you know what? It's trolls, but it's not just trolls. It's actually sports analysts, and it's driving me bananas. You know, McNabb started out 0-2 in 2003. Did they call for the backup quarterback to start? Did they say, you know what? We want AJ Feely in there. You know what? We want Coy Detmer in there. You know what? We want Ty. Well, I didn't think Ty Detmer was it on there. But I'm like, did they call for that? Like, I know social media wasn't around back then, but I wonder. You know, did they call for like this? Like, oh, we got to bench McNabb, and I can tell you that they played terrible in that 0-2 game when they were 0-2. They were terrible.
Like
they lost to Tampa Bay. And then they got blown out by the Patriots at home, back-to-back nights.
Yep.
So are we blaming, like, were we calling for McNabb to come in then? No, we weren't.
Not.
Because, you know, we live off the allure that every backup quarterback's going to come into this town and win a goddamn Super Bowl, when it's not the case. They're backups for a reason. They'll have a good career in the NFL, barring any injury, and they just go out and do their job. But other than that, like, it's just the analysts are just out of their mind. And again, we're not disagreeing. You know, Carson Wentz has regressed. Maybe he'll pick it up. Maybe Doug comes up with a new offensive game plan. Like, why are we not talking about Doug Peterson regressing as a head coach? You want to talk about Carson Wentz regressing? Well, that comes down to coaching too. And like I said in the last podcast, that's why the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2017. They didn't win the Super Bowl because Nick Foles was a great quarterback. They won the Super Bowl because they had a great coaching staff. That's why they won the Super Bowl. And they just happened to beat the best coach on the other side of the field. That's my opinion. People can disagree with me, but that's how it is. And that's how I'm ending my part. You can go on with whatever you want. You can agree. You can disagree. You can stab me in the face and say I'm an idiot. But that's what I think. You know, stop with the calling for the backup. Wait till they're 0-9. If they're 0-9, then you call. Oh, dear God, if they're 0-9, the city's going to set on fire. Oh,
I know. Yeah, I know. It's... I do. You know, it's this kind of talk that we're seeing all over the place. Like you said, analysts, writers, fans, that I'm starting to actually hate Nick Foles. I'm starting to hate the man. I'll forever be grateful for what he did, but I'm starting to hate his face, his name, and his existence on this godforsaken earth. Him coming in and doing what a backup quarterback should do, and that is be ready to step in and play like the starter and win games. He did that. He did his job. He went in there and played and won games. That is what they are paid to do. The fact that he won was the greatest and worst thing that could ever happen in this city. Hands down, greatest and worst thing that could ever happen. And you can't talk to anybody about it. Oh, he's better than Wentz. Really? Why? Just because he won a Super Bowl? Like, you do realize Wentz was hurt, right? If Wentz did not get hurt, no one would know the name Nick Foles. No one would remember the name Nick Foles being the backup quarterback on that team. Nobody. You know, it makes me laugh. You sit there, if you tell people, oh, well, you know a backup quarterback, you know, that has a, you know, he was a starter for many years, and he has a Super Bowl ring with the Dallas Cowboys as a backup to Troy Aikman, Bernie Kosar. Oh, he don't have a Super Bowl. Yeah, he does. Does that mean he's better than the Hall of Famer? Does that make him better than Carson Wentz because Bernie Kosar has a Super Bowl as a backup who didn't play? Like, I tell people all the time, like, who cares if a backup won the Super Bowl? You guys do realize that every single year a backup quarterback wins the Super Bowl. Like, to me, it makes no sense. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. Just because he actually got to step foot on the field and play and not just run around in a bunch of confetti hugging people.
You're very animated.
I get so mad with this whole Nick Foles is like the greatest thing since sliced bread just because he won the Super Bowl. Like, people literally will make him out to be like he was Tom Brady because he beat Tom Brady. It annoys me so much. Annoys me so much. Like, to the point where everyone says, oh, you know, he'll never have to buy another meal again. Well, guess what? If me and him are the only two in a restaurant, I'm making him buy his meal. As a matter of fact, buy my meal because you're putting me through fan hell.
So, well, with that, I'm going to give my fantasy pickup of the week. I don't know if the last two times I posted, they have done nothing. Although Boston Scott did have more yards than the people I told people to start in week one. And Emmanuel Sanders and Scotty Miller didn't do dick in week two. But my pickup for the week, you guys, is Mo Alie-Cox, a tight end on the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, he's the guy who's taking over for Jack Doyle.
Yeah, he had five catches. I'm sorry, he had five catches for 111 yards.
Yeah. Yep.
You have any fantasy pickups for the week?
Fantasy pickup for the week. I'm really I'm really liking running back from Miles Gaskins from Miami. There's something about him that I like. I don't like him like long term because they don't have anybody else really. There's something about that kid I like. I don't have any stats in front of me because I didn't prepare.
I don't either. I just knew that, you know, he's a good pickup this week.
Yeah, I mean, such a good pickup. Like a lot of people are saying Deion Lewis because of, you know, Saquon Barkley. Well, maybe I made the pickup of the week last week when I picked up Devonta Freeman.
We'll see.
I had a feeling. I was like, you know what? Well, he came out and said that he was going to wait till after week two to sign with a team. So I was like, all right, well, you know what? On Sundays, we have free waiver wire. So I picked him up. And it's funny, the guy that has had Saquon Barkley made fun of me for picking him up because I picked up a dead player, as he called it. And, of course, it happened to be my cousin that had Saquon Barkley. So as soon as it got confirmed that Barkley's done for the year, I was like, oh, so who has a dead player now? I was like, oh, that's right. I got the guy that just replaced your dead player. I love when that crap happens. But I'm also hoping that Fournette keeps on going off of his high from last week and does good. And also Justin Herbert. I have him in my lineup this week. I actually drafted him with my very last pick, so to be a keeper option for next year. Oh, and then I also went out and picked up Trubisky because I was like, with Garoppolo and Drew Lock both hurt, I was like, all I have is Herbert and Bridgewater. I was like, I need a third just in case something happens. So, yeah, I have four quarterbacks on my squad.
And then I will end this with a have a little rest in peace to Gale Sanders and to the, was it, Road Warrior Animal?
Yeah. Yeah, like that was, yeah, with Animal and Sayers, that was crazy. They, I mean, with Gale Sayers, you knew that was going to happen at some point. You know, the guy's old, but you didn't expect it now. You know, I hate to say that when you talk about a guy that died. Oh, you know it's going to happen. I didn't hear anything about him if he was sick or anything. I just knew that he passed
away. Who's that?
Sayers, Gale Sayers.
Oh, he's just 77 years old.
So it was just natural causes. He just died. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so far, they're not saying anything about Road Warrior Animal. It's just that it came out that it was, they said natural causes. But I mean, he was 60. You know, so I mean.
Yeah, he wasn't old.
Yeah, he wasn't old at all. I mean, I was the same age as my mom when she passed. Well, no, she was 62. You know, so I mean, he was younger than my mom when she passed away. So, yeah, I mean, these guys. It's a shame. So, I mean, you're talking in the sports world, that's two of them. Who's going to be the third? Because you know everything happens in threes.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. So.
Oh, why not? I have a Deadpool going. No.
So, I guess, that's all I have for tonight. You know, whoever's listening, eventually, thank you. We'll see about doing this again on Friday, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm off from my second job on Friday night, and I'm not going up my girlfriend's this weekend because I have to help on Saturday move my grandmother out of her house since it is sold. So we have to get all of her furniture out. So I'll be home all weekend.
So, all right.
Yeah, so it gives me time to mess with this production system too, which I'm excited for.
So, all right, well. It was a pleasure chit-chatting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hopefully, you know, Phillies will have won three in a row the next time we talk.
Hopefully. I'm really hoping they do also. Oh, and I'm hoping that not for Friday, but maybe Wednesday next week, I'm hoping maybe to have you over here so we can actually do the show off of this production unit.
Yeah, we can do that.
Because... I mean, that's if the stuff I have comes in or I'm able to buy it ahead of time. So if I can have the full setup ready to go, I will get my basement cleaned up somewhat and, you know, we'll sit our asses down and start talking sports.
All right. Sounds good. So, all right, Eric, I will talk to you. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Definitely. All right, man. All right. Take it easy.
Later.
All right. Bye. All right, everybody. That's it. We're out of here. Have a good night.